Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spotcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Benton A. Smith. We're just going to fly through that middle initial this time because, frankly, I'm sick of talking about it. But I like using it, so we'll keep that going. Benton, welcome. I'm really happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I love what you've done with the place.
Yeah, it's really cozy, nice. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really nice studio here. Various lights.
It's spacious. So many HDTVs.
Right.
Your sound system is banging.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think that's a compliment. You are actually sitting 37 feet from me right now, but the audio that we have picking up this podcast is just incredible.
Second to none.
Right. It is. It is second to none. And that's the brand, actually. Second to none speakers.
Little plug.
Speaker City. From old school. I picked them up from that guy. It's good stuff. He gave great prices. We're here today, though, on this episode of the Ridiculous Spodcasters to talk to you about snow blindness in cats. All right, sorry. That's my second bad Will Ferrell movie reference, and I will stop there. We're here to talk about Sheck Diallo and his start after waiting and waiting and waiting and then waiting some more to finally be cleared by the NCAA. Diallo has come out of the gates with one really good game in his debut, and then not so much after that.
Yeah, and I think it's just inevitable with a freshman.
Yep.
You know, unless you are super elite
right
among freshman college basketball players, you're a Ben Simmons or, to throw it back a little bit, a Kevin Durant.
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw how, with Wiggins, for instance, it just, you heard all this hype, and then you saw him up close, and you're like, all right, I see it in moments, but even with Wiggins, he wasn't like a guy that you thought automatically was going to be Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, good point.
So, and with Diallo, okay, his first half of that first game, you could see how nervous he was, and he responded well, but you're just going to have those ups and downs when you're a first-year player.
That's it.
You're also behind.
That's exactly right.
Because he wasn't able to practice or play for so long.
Yeah, I mean, he's still trying to figure it out. You know, it's a very demanding thing to play for Bill Self and to play at Kansas, and he doesn't care. He's proven this over time. He doesn't care if you're a lottery pick or a top-ranked, you know, rivals recruit or whatever. If you're not picking it up, you're not playing. And the way you prove to him that you're picking it up is not by going out in the second half of the Loyola game and putting on a show with the Karl Malone dunk and all these things that the fans love and go wild about. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff, and he would obviously take more of that. But the way you prove it to Bill Self is by doing it in practice. And I've been to a couple of practices this year and really over the last few years, when you see young guys like that in practice, Bill Self is riding them the entire practice. And it's not because he's a jerk, and it's not because he's trying to make these kids miserable. It's because they need to be they need to be pushed like that. They need to be held to a standard that is, hey, this is how we do it, and anything less than that is going to get us beat. And so that's what you see. And if you watch closely, if you watch Self after Diallo makes a mistake, whether it's just a blatant turnover or just being in the wrong spot, watch him communicate. He is all over Diallo during the games. And I'm sure that's contributing to the reason that he doesn't look that comfortable. And he looks like he's forcing a little bit. And he looks like he's, you know, in his own head a little bit. I'm sure he's, like a lot of freshmen do in a lot of sports, just thinking so much right now about what he should be doing instead of just doing it.
Yeah, you mentioned Self always takes this approach regardless of how touted the guy may be coming in. And I've always wondered about that because, I mean, if you just let someone play more and kind of get more comfortable, wouldn't that help the progress?
Yeah, you're talking especially like Cliff Alexander, right? I mean, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that was in the doghouse constantly. He
get yanked after one mistake.
Sure, he had to. Yeah, he had to, you know, earn it, so to speak. Not to steal a KU
David
football
Beatty
phrase, but he did, and Self showed throughout the Alexander stuff that, nope, not willing to budge at all.
Yeah,
this is how I do it, and this is how it's going to be done, and so yeah, I think I would imagine. I would imagine he's pretty upfront with guys about that in the recruiting process.
Right.
I don't think that that's something that you can just spring on them when they get to your campus.
If they've paid attention, they know right. what to expect coming in.
So Diallo has shown, obviously that second half was a highlight reel, the mm-hmm. whole thing against Loyola, really good stuff. That's the kind of player he certainly can become, and I think he's obviously very interested in becoming very quickly, because you can tell this is a kid that wants it very badly. He wants to show that he's a complete player. He wants to hit that mid-range jumper. He wants to hit the boards hard. He wants to dunk with ferocious nature. He wants to be very good in a bunch of ways. Where does he need to improve the most in your estimation?
Right now, I mean, you kind of see that energy in spurts.
Sure.
And I think if he just would focus on that for now, mm-hmm. that would kind of get him headed in the right direction. Just being the guy.
Let the game come to him.
Yeah. Attack the glass on both ends of the floor and, you know, protect that rim and be that energy guy in the paint. And, I mean, the more you do that, the more the crowd's going to get involved, the more your teammates are going to be excited about what you're doing, the better you're going to start playing as a result of that.
It's karma, too. I mean, a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, those things, you do those little things that don't show up in the stat sheet necessarily.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get open more, and your teammates find you more, and then you get to do those things offensively that you want to do. So, I mean, that's not guaranteed, but it just seems to happen that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
especially
the biggest issue.
A guy like him who clearly is working hard.
Right, right.
And earnestly wants to get better.
Definitely. Yeah, it's not, he's not out there trying to force things and make mistakes and look lost. He just is. And it's the exact reason that you talked about. He just is a little behind still. And I think throughout that process, throughout him being investigated by the NCAA or whatever you want to call it, that was, I think, what Bill Self's, other than the personal side of this, where the young man left Africa to come to school in America and all this stuff, other than that personal side of it, I think that the part that upset Self the most was that the longer that thing went on, mm-hmm. the more behind this kid was going to be. And this is a kid that very, no matter how this season goes, he's probably going to be a top 5, top 10 pick, no matter how he does. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of college basketball and the NBA draft and all those things now. So, you know, that's frustrating. Self and his staff spent a lot of time recruiting this guy, and to get him for such a short amount of time, you're talking October to March, and then to have pretty much October and November taken from you.
Yeah, almost 2 months.
Yeah. And not just, you know, that he lost the opportunity for growth and maturity and experience and all those things that now he's trying to get. Luckily, he has a handful of non-conference games left to get them still, but I think this is probably still a guy that's going to look a little lost and a little behind and a little forced when conference play begins. And I think the goal was, obviously, if he had started from Northern Colorado or the exhibition mm-hmm. games too, by the conference play, he'd be a little more polished. And now I just don't think he will be.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, maybe late January, we start to see his full potential on a consistent basis whenever he's on the floor. And maybe by then, don't you think that at some point he's going to be the fifth starter? He's going to supplant the Trailer or Lucas or
if he develops, no doubt about it. Yeah, and he does. He has a long way to go. I know there's a lot of people that would love to see him starting now, but he's so far behind, and people don't understand it because, look, let's just take those two, for example, Trailer and Diallo. Trailer's been here for 40 years. He has seen and heard every trick.
For Larry Brown.
Yes. He knows everything that Bill Self's going to try to do. He knows what he wants to do offensively, defensively. He knows how he coaches. He knows when Bill Self sneezes, based on the octave level of that sneeze, he knows what's coming next. I mean, that stuff's invaluable for a guy just trying to play for Kansas. And I think that although he might not be the more talented of the two, when he's on the floor, that comfort, that familiarity, that just belonging, that understanding of what's going on, not just with yourself, but with all five guys and with your team defense and all of that, that stuff's crazy valuable for a team. And so that's the reason that a guy like Trailer keeps playing, and the reason that these other guys still have to figure it out and show that they've got it. And it just doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, and I think Diallo is going to become that kind of Trailer role player that really can help KU, and like you said, it's just gonna take time, and it's gonna be interesting to see in these remaining December games how far he can go.
Right.
Because obviously, if you followed his high school career and read about him or saw him play in those All-Star games, you saw a guy that you could see making a real impact as an interior player at the college level. But he's just, as we've said,
yeah.
he's behind
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
So he's playing catch up, and he seems like the kind of guy that could do this on an accelerated
I agree.
Path going forward.
I agree. Yeah.
Just kind of make leaps and bounds almost overnight.
Make up 2 weeks in one
right.
or whatever,
yeah.
right. I agree with that. And I think this the skills he has, the talent he has, I think he has plenty of potential to be a real scorer too. I mean, I don't think that this is a guy that's just going to get garbage buckets off of rebounds. I think he could be a weapon offensively, in as much as KU needs him to be. And,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, that might not be very much with all those other weapons they have. But add him to the mix, a more polished, developed, mature version of him, like you're talking about in late
yeah.
January, they get real scary in a hurry.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's it. I think patience is the key,
yeah.
Both for Diallo as a player. For his teammates, for Bill Self, and of course for the fans who are dying to see this guy explode onto the scene. It's
mm-hmm.
just going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and he'll get there. He's going to reach his one-and-done potential at
sure.
some point during this season. He's not going to be like Cliff Alexander was last year.
No.
So don't freak out and think that this is another Cliff Alexander.
Great advice from a great man with a great middle initial. Ben Naismith. That's all we've got for the Diallo edition of the Spodcasters. Thanks for checking it out, and we will be back very soon with a lot more of these as the season rolls on. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Spodcasters.